Okay, hello, good evening. Welcome to Matrix Radio Live. I am your host, Martin Siegel. I'd like to welcome you to the show this evening. We are broadcasting live from Mooresville, North Carolina, behind enemy lines, as we like to say. Anyway, I stole that from Alex Jones, as probably some of you know. But anyway, I'd just like to welcome you all to the show this evening. Our website, www.matrixministries.com. Please visit the site when you get a chance. Some interesting things on there. Also, there's an area on the website where you can help support our ministry and donate to us. And we do have some fantastic services available to you on the website as well. And your support will be well used. We can always use your support. And those items will help you and your family as well. We have some fantastic organic items on our website that many of you should be using. Organic products are just outstanding. These are certified organic products that are certified to food standards. So things that you're putting on your body, different types of soaps, lotions, those types of things, you should always use certified organic products whenever you can, just for the health of you and your family. These products do not poison you, they're not toxic, and they work better than many of the products that you buy out there at the store. And also they will save you money over the long run because they're so highly concentrated, and they're made from all natural items. So I would suggest you go to our website and check those out when you get a chance. Also, our Global Links phone service, which you are listening to me now currently on. It's a fantastic voice over IP service that you should get involved with. It will save you a ton of money long term, especially if you do any long distance calling or if you do any overseas calling. It will just really save you a lot of money. I have cut my phone bill drastically in my household, and if you're looking for ways to cut back and save money, this is the way to go. Okay, our call-in numbers for tonight are USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494, and that's for the United States and Canada. Worldwide, we are accepting calls from the number 877-489-6350, 489-6350 worldwide. We'd love to hear from you this evening. We're going to go in and talk a lot tonight about some of the different news stories and issues that are going on around the world and in our country here in the United States this evening. I've been really, really kind of shocked at what's been going on with this entire automaker's so-called loan or bailout, however you want to, I don't know, they change the terminology on it daily, so it's hard to follow that sometimes. I guess it's called a approved loan now. They've decided to loan our automakers $17.4 billion. I have a story here that is from the Associated Press, which I found very interesting today. Let me just read you a few of the highlights of the story. And I'd really like to hear from some of you tonight. I want to get your opinion on what's going on here with all of this economic turmoil the world seems to be in. It's not just us here in the United States, folks. It's all over the world. We're getting reports of things going on all over the world that are just crazy. I mean, there are riots happening in places like, you know, Athens, Greece. We're having all kinds of things happening in Denmark. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on around the world that's people just, I think, are getting fed up. They're fed up and tired of being slaves, and they're starting to stand up and you know, take back what's rightfully theirs. Their God-given rights that have been taken away from them, and that's what's happening here in the States as well. Our rights have been eroded over the years slowly. I just remember, you know, from when I was a little kid, how things have drastically changed. I grew up in the 60s, and, you know, just looking at the time difference, you know, the some 30, 40 years that have passed and all the changes that have happened in lifestyle, it's just amazing to me. You know, I travel a lot, and I'm at the point where I hate to even go get on an airplane anymore. I feel like I'm being subjected to, you know, a prison pat-down every time I go through the gate at the airport. They want to strip you down. You know, they scrutinize everything you do, and I know they tell you it's for your safety, but it's really not for your safety. It's really all about control and training people to be subjected to authority. And although we are to be subjected to the higher authority, which is the authority of God, now we don't, you know, we should never have a problem being subjected to godly authority. The problem is that we have people that are in charge of things that are not godly, and anytime you have that happening, and your rights are eroded the way that they are being eroded right now for most of us, I think it's time for us to stand up and speak out and take back what is ours. Excuse me. This bailout now we're talking about here, let me go into this news report here from the Associated Press. Bailout approved. Automakers to get $17.4 billion. It says, citing danger to the national economy, President Bush approved today an emergency bailout of the U.S. auto industry, offering $17.4 billion in rescue loans in exchange for tough concessions from the deeply troubled car makers and their workers. Now, what you have to understand here is that this bailout or loans have nothing to do with strengthening the auto market in this country. You have to understand this. This is about what it said right here in this first paragraph of the story, tough concessions from deeply troubled car makers and their workers. They want to step in and get control of the automotive companies. And what I believe will happen is that shortly after they do this, the companies will be taken over anyway and put into a bankruptcy mode. And the companies will be ultimately dissolved and the assets, you know, thrown off and sold off to different, most likely foreign-owned constituents. So, let me read some more of the story here. It says, allowing the massive auto industry to collapse in the middle of what is already a severe recession, not a responsible course of action. Okay, well, I tend to agree with that. But again, this money is not going to help the situation and will do nothing for the employers, or the employees, I'm sorry, or the people here in the United States of America. It would worsen a weak job market and exacerbate the financial crisis, he said. It could send our suffering economy into a deeper and longer recession, and it would leave the next president to confront the demise of a major American industry in his first days in office. Well, he's going to have to deal with a lot of things first day in office, I believe, but I don't think that this money is going to help at all. Now, it says here stock prices rallied on Wall Street as investors cheered the government's action, and the Republicans were very upset about it. And it says here that the president of the UAW says, we will work with Obama's administration and the new Congress to ensure that these unfair conditions are removed. Unfair conditions. Let's talk about this for a minute here. It says, while the United Auto Workers said the plan would keep factories running, the union said it was upset by loan conditions singling out workers. Now, if you go further into the story, it says here, under terms of the loans, the government will have the option of becoming a stockholder in the companies, much as it has done with the major banks, in effect, partially nationalizing the industry. Bush said the company's workers should agree to wage and work rules that are competitive with foreign automakers by the end of next year, okay? Also, here's another big one. And he called for the elimination of the Job Banks program, negotiated by the United Auto Workers and their companies, under which laid-off workers can receive about 95% of their pay and benefits for years. Okay? It says, early this month, the UAW agreed to suspend the program. Now, I know a lot of you hear things, you know, through the grapevine that are around the country and around the world and are not tightly attached to the automotive market. I am very strongly attached to the automotive market. I have a lot of family members that live in the Detroit area. I'm from there myself, and some of them, quite a few of them, are working for the companies right now. And also, my brother just retired from Chrysler after 30 years, not too long ago. And folks, look, the reason they put the Job Banks program into effect in the place, the reason that the UAW sat down and negotiated this in the first place was because there was fear of all the jobs going overseas. And they figured, hey, if we put something like this in place, then maybe these companies that are moving all the jobs overseas won't continue to do so if they know they're still going to have to pay for these unemployed auto workers who are sitting here not doing anything. That's why it was put in place. It was not put in place to make people rich or lazy. It was not put in place to, you know, have the guys at the auto factories just making money and not doing anything and getting over on people. That's not what it was about. It was put in place to control the loss of jobs. Although it didn't work, the jobs still continue to stream out of our country on a daily basis. Also, you'll see that the automotive jobs are dwindling as well. Now, we know that they just shut down many of the plants across the country. And they are going to shut them down for, looks like, about a 30-day period. This money is going to be infused into the auto companies, and I don't believe that this money is going to do anything for the workers of the companies. It's just going to, I think ultimately this money will be funneled over to foreign interests. You know, if you look at companies like General Motors, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but General Motors just opened their 8th Chinese production facility this month. So, you know, you have to look at what they're doing. This money is going to go in their pocket. And just like when the bankers took your money and said, hey, we're going to use your money to loosen up the credit markets and help people that are struggling with their homes, just like they lied to you there, I believe this is the next Ponzi scheme that they're running on people. They're going to take $17 billion and infuse it into the automotive companies. And then in a couple months, when the companies can't do what is mandated by the federal government, the government will step in and foreclose on these companies, force them into bankruptcy anyway. And then, you may remember a couple weeks ago, I was reading you a story out of the Canadian national newspaper that was talking about the deal that's on the table with China to buy General Motors and buy Chrysler. So I believe that money will be put on the table as part of this deal, you know, and it's a good way for, you know, China to break into the automotive market here. And why shouldn't we pay for that? I mean, we're paying for everything else, so why should we not fund, you know, another takeover here? Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not trying to be a bigot. I'm not a person who is against foreign interests or, you know, foreign people for that matter. You know, my wife is a immigrant to this country. She's from the Philippines, and I love her dearly. We have an awesome relationship, and, you know, I travel around the world to different countries, and I have many friends in different countries, and I love them dearly. And I have no problem with, you know, people coming to this country legally, and I have no problem with foreign-owned interest in the company. But where I draw the line is when our major industries that have to do with things like our national security, like things like where it not only affects our lifestyle, but the means by how we are to fund that lifestyle, that's where I tend to draw the line. So if there's anyone out there listening tonight, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to get your feedback and input about where you think this is headed, and also how you feel about these Ponzi schemes that have been run on us here in America that continue to go on day after day. This is a huge ongoing thing, folks. I think we are in the perfect storm. We are at a point economically in this country where it looks like a major total collapse could come at any time. And I would like to hear from some of you to see what you think about what's happening. So if you get a chance, if you're out there listening and you have some comments to make, please feel free to call in, and I'd like to hear from you tonight. Again, those phone numbers are 888-228-4494 in the USA and Canada, and 877-489-6350 if you're listening worldwide. I'd like to get the views. If there's anybody out there listening that is, from another country, I'd like to get your view on the situation as well. We're seeing this huge shift, but we're also seeing a huge economic deterioration all over the world. It's happening everywhere. And it's all been engineered and designed to happen. Now, there was another story that came out a week or so ago in December about one of our senators warning of riots happening here in the United States if the automakers are bailed out. I've got that story here, and let me just read you a little bit of this one. This is from the Business and Media Institute by a gentleman named Jeff Poor. It says here that time and again we've heard about the lost jobs and economic impact of failing to bail out the American auto manufacturers, but little mention has been made of the consequences of going through with the bailout and how such an action would be viewed by other Americans. Okay, it says here, in an interview following the December 10th press conference, where he and four other senators aired their opposition to the proposed bailout deal struck by congressional leaders and White House representatives, Senator Jim Durbin, Republican of South Carolina, warned that the perception that some industries are being bailed out and some others aren't could lead to violence. He says here, quote, "We are going to have riots. There are already people rioting because they're losing their jobs when everyone else is being bailed out. The fairness of it becomes more and more evident as we go along. The auto companies may be hurting," he said, "but there are very few companies that aren't hurting, and they're going to hurt. We don't have enough money to bail everyone out." I agree with that. I mean, we shouldn't be bailing these companies out. These companies, believe it or not, these companies aren't, some of these major companies like the automotive companies, I don't believe they're hurting as bad as they say they are. When you look at a company like Chrysler, it's not a U.S. company anymore. It's actually owned by, German interests. You look at General Motors, and General Motors has been highly focused on setting up shop overseas. The company like Ford, the Ford Foundation, year after year has dumped millions and millions of dollars into the Council on Foreign Relations. So I think these companies know where they're headed and know what they're doing. And I believe it's all part of the big, bigger picture. And it's part of the takeover of the middle class of America. You see, folks, here in America, we are the last standing bit of free society in the world, and that threatens the global elite when there's somebody around that has a little bit of independence. The unfortunate thing is that I talk to many, many people who seem to think that we are still a very free society, which we are not. I'd like to read you this little quote here by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. He says, "There are none more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free." Now, I believe that is the epitome of what I see here in America. Let me read that to you again. "There are none more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free." That is pretty much what I see here all across the country in America. People think they are free, and they truly are not. If you sometime get a chance to view, there was a documentary done a while back by a gentleman named Aaron Russo, who put out a film called America, Freedom to Fascism, and it goes into great detail about our tax system here and the IRS and all the different ways that we have been suckered into paying income taxes that we don't have to pay legally. There's no law on the books saying that we have to pay these taxes anywhere, yet year after year, all of us here as citizens in the United States in this free country continue to pour dollars into an illegal system that is hell-bent on just stealing from us continuously, and that money goes not to pay for the benefits of the citizens that are paying the money. That money is not paying for anything useful for the citizens. That money goes to pay strictly the interest on the debts of this country, and even then it doesn't even cover that to any degree. Back when Ronald Reagan was president, Ronald Reagan put a commission together. It was called the Grace Commission, and these guys studied where our money went from our federal, state income taxes, and what they determined was that all the money that we paid in, not one penny of it went for any types of services that went back to the people. The money all went directly into pay interest on the debt of the loans that our leaders, our so-called leaders, have taken out for us on our behalf to pay, for things that we don't approve. And this is constantly going on, and it's killing us today. It's taking us right down the drain. I'm sick and tired of it. And I hope some of you out there agree with me. I'd like to hear from you this evening. If you're as mad and don't want to take it anymore as I am, I'd like to hear from you tonight. I need to know that there's people out there with me that are going to stand up and not take this kind of treatment any longer. If we would all just come together, there's no way that we can be stopped and we could take this country back. I think there's a video that just came out by Paris. It's called "Don't Stop the Movement." And the very end of the video, the music video, this is a song that he did. It says, "The people united can never be defeated." The people united can never be defeated, and I agree with that. And thank God for people like Don and people like the great team that we have at BBS Radio. There are guys over there that are allowing this kind of word to come forth and spread along the airways. We just are thankful for people who are willing to stand up and not be afraid to allow the alternative media to be spoken on the airwaves. The big problem is that we have the mass media that is a big part of the problem in this country, that not always gives you the truth, spins a lot of it, because it's controlled by the same people that are hell-bent on destroying everything in the first place and enslaving you and taking away your rights. So I just wanted to put a big shout-out to the guys at BBS Radio and thank them. And if you're listening tonight, you should do the same. You should be thankful that there are people out there that are willing to stand up and allow different forms of different ideas to come forth, and you know, not continuously shut people down. That happens all the time on the mass media scale. So, just like to thank the guys at BBS Radio for doing such a great job. Okay, I'd like to hear from you tonight if you're out there. Here's another great, listen to this, here's another great quote, and I'd like you to just think for a minute who might have said this. What good fortune for governments that the people do not think. What good fortune for governments that the people do not think. That's a quote by Adolf Hitler himself. I know where he's coming from there. Anyway. Okay, so we're talking about the bailout here being approved. Automakers getting $17.4 billion of your money. Won't do any good. Chrysler CEO Bob Nardell thanked the administration for its help. Okay, now, one of the big problems here is that, you know, it says Chrysler is closing all 30 of its North American manufacturing plants for 4 weeks because of slumping sales. Ford will shut 10 American assembly plants. General Motors will temporarily close 20 factories, many for the entire month of January to cut vehicle production. Okay. Now, it's saying that Chrysler, foreign-owned, General Motors, heavily, heavily foreign-occupied as far as spending money to set up shop elsewhere. Although Chrysler has a lot of manufacturing going on all around the world, they're very big in other countries as well. And the Ford Foundation, of course, ever since Henry Ford has been around, has been a big donator to, of course, the United Nations, the CFR, and all the different League of Nations that has been undermining everything we stand for here in this country for freedom. Now, the senators warned of riots if automakers are bailed out. What do you think about that? You know, I don't think it makes me any any matter than the bankers taking their money to begin with. It's all this money is going to end up in their pocket anyway. Now, last week, you know, I was talking about, you know, God being in charge of all things. He's in charge of all things. Again, don't be fearful of what's going on. Just be wise. And it's a good idea to study different news reports that are happening out there so that you can put the puzzle together. Okay? The bankers refused to honor Bloomberg's FOIA request. Now, this is huge, okay? They steal our money, and then when we turn in a Freedom of Information Act request wanting to know where that money goes, they refuse to tell us where it goes. Isn't this amazing? Here's another story. Bloomberg reports today. Now, let's check this out. These guys got a lot of balls, I guess you would say, to step in and steal all our money and spend it and not tell us where it's going, and then they want to stand up and tell us they're not going to tell us where it's going. Bloomberg reports today the Federal Reserve has refused to disclose the recipients of more than $2 trillion of emergency loans from U.S. taxpayers and the assets the central bank is accepting as collateral. Wow. Did you just hear what I said there? Man, I'll tell you, they're just getting away with murder. It says on November 7th, Bloomberg filed a Freedom of Information request to disclose the recipients of more than $2 trillion of emergency loans. See, they've originally told us that this bailout was $700 billion, $800 billion. It's already been reported that it's almost at $10 trillion that they've taken already. And you know, this money is just killing the dollar. You know, I hate to sit here and tell you this, that, you know, I just feel like such a negative person talking about these stories, but man, this news, this information has to get out. You have to understand what's going on, people. You just can't think positive all the time and hope that it's going to have an effective change on everything. I mean, sure, thinking positive is great. I do think positive all the time. But when you see the reality of what's happening around you, there comes a time you have to, you know, dig your heels in and stand up and take charge of what's going on. You just can't lay back and be a, you know, be a slave and be a wimp forever. You have to stand up and speak out and do something about what's going on. Otherwise, there's not going to be left here for our children to have. I have three children, three young children, and I'm doing this partially for them. I mean, hey, we are a family, and I'm worried about their future. You know, what's going to happen when my one-and-a-half-year-old is 15, 16 years old, and there's no future for him at all? What's going to happen when my four-year-old and six-year-old reach college age, and they have no future at all? What's going to happen when we reach retirement age and there's no money to retire on because it's all been stolen from us? That's what's happening. You're seeing your 401ks, your pension plans dwindling every day. And, you know, what's funny about it is they make you feel like you're the one that's at fault for it. And you're really not. This has all been designed. It's all been set up to loot and steal everything you have, leave you with nothing, and basically put you into a third world status so that in the future they can easily control everything. So let me continue on with this story here about Bloomberg. Okay, it says here, on November 7th, Bloomberg filed a Freedom of Information request to disclose the recipients of more than $2 trillion of emergency loans from taxpayers and the assets the central bank is accepting as collateral. But the private banker syndicate has told Congress and the American people to go fish. Oh my goodness. Can you believe this? Bloomberg notes that the Freedom of Information Act requires federal agencies to make government documents available to the press and the public. However, the Fed is not a federal agency. It is a cartel of private bankers. Okay. Now, I've been telling people that for years. Most of them didn't have a clue what I was talking about, but private bankers run our country. They always have. And if you want that to change, we have to get together.
We have a caller on line 3.
Okay. Hello, we have a caller out there this evening. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Martin, this is Justin Brady.
Justin, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm just listening in on the radio show, and I wanted to point out the you know, how legitimate it is what you're saying, how the government is drying up reserve funds, and I just wanted to say I completely agree with you, and I think it's going to be pretty, it's detrimental that the government quits exhausting these funds, because I think it's going to lead to a lot of problems in the near future.
Oh, absolutely. They're depleting all these funds so that it continues to drag the dollar down. And you know, if you watch what's going on internationally with all the different monetary funds, they're all spiraling downward. Even, the euro, pretty much every currency in every other country is just going downhill. But the dollar's going down so fast, they're more on an even keel now. You know, you're not noticing it as quickly as it was happening before because the other currencies were staying more stable as the dollar was crashing. But now they're all kind of crashing at the same pace, you know. So, but again, Justin, all done by design, man. It's being done just to loot everything from us, you know. It's this money will be going into their pockets that they're stealing from us. And although it won't have much worth left, they're going to be able to turn around with our own money and buy everything up that's left. See, these guys are masters at bankrupting things. They're masters at bankrupting companies. They're masters at bankrupting countries. And then what they do is, during the bankruptcy, they pose as your savior, and they step in looking like your savior, and by doing so, they sucker you into taking your money, and then they take your own money, and they buy up everything with it that they just stole from you. So, and they buy it up cheap, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, that's straight communism. I mean, we're a capitalist economy. That's what America was founded on, was capitalism, and we have definitely shifted away to that, to a more socialist economy, and that's very dangerous. And I want to point this out. What the government's not letting happen, a capitalism means it's free enterprise, it's free market. And what our government's doing, they're bailing these companies out, and just think about it in this light. If you take the ability to fail away, then eventually you will take the ability to succeed away. And I feel that's what's going to happen. I mean, these companies will feel that every time they get in trouble, they can fall back to the government for a bailout. It's like, you know, they're not learning their lesson. It's kind of like a parent that's disciplining their child. Well, you got to discipline your child. If you let your child get away with the same stuff over and over again, then that child's going to feel like he can do whatever he wants. And I feel that's what the government's, they're empowering these businesses. They're rewarding bad behavior at the taxpayer's expense.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I agree with you there. But on top of that, too, I believe that they're doing it so that they can have more control. If you were listening to me a few minutes ago, too, that article that I was reading that was talking about the federal government, you know, causing the workers to give up concessions, you know, for things like their pay, and things that were put in place to protect them. What's going to happen when they give all that up and then, you know, the company still goes under? And what, you know, even worse, with the federal government stepping in and nationalizing these companies, they're going to have complete control over it. So, you know, it's a lose-lose situation for the little guy. I mean, it's a win-win for the federal government because now they got control of the company that they knew in the first place was not going to make it. And second of all, again, they're able to get everything for pennies on the dollars, you know, the bankers are. So,
and these big bankers want to, they want globalism. They want a one world bank. I mean, that's what they're shifting to. Like you said, I mean, this is blueprint. This is a blueprint. It's a design. I mean, it's a strategic design by the bankers. And, it's all in their plan. It's their blueprint.
Justin, it's a well thought out and designed business plan.
Absolutely.
It's really, I don't even think of it as a conspiracy anymore. It's really a business plan of how to take over the world, and they're just about have succeeded at it. And, it's good that there's people out there that are waking up to what's going on and that are, willing to stand up and do something about it. So I just feel bad for, all the people out there that are losing their jobs. And what do you think about, the reports coming in for November, 533,000 jobs lost in November. Now, we got a report just recently here about December that there's already been over 520,000 jobs lost in the U.S. in the month of December already. That's well over a million jobs. Now, Justin Obama says he wants to put a plan together that's going to create 2.5 million jobs. But if we're losing a million jobs every other month, you know, what good is that going to do us?
Well, it's not. It's just not going to do any good. I mean, it's, to me, he's kind of wanting to, it's kind of reminiscent of the New Deal. He almost seems like he's trying to set himself up like FDR. He's going to come in, pull us out of the depression. I mean, we're not quite in the depression yet, but we're definitely in a recession. And he wants to implement something that's kind of like the New Deal. I mean, something that would get us out of this thing and make him, you know, make him look great and you know, perhaps get our economy right, which I don't think is going to happen. Like you said, we're losing jobs at a rapid pace. And he says he's going to replace 2 million jobs. Well, I mean, at the rate we're going, that's not even going to be sufficient. That's not going to be near enough to cope with the amount of job loss that's going to probably happen over the next few years.
Absolutely. You know what I love too, Justin, is the way that the government, when they release their numbers on something like unemployment, or they release their numbers on, you know, new job production for the month, it's funny how they do it. You know, what they've done recently is, you know, they come out and they say, hey, we have had a growth in jobs. You know, we were instrumental in causing the formation of, you know, 200,000 new jobs this past quarter. But, you know, what they fail to tell you is what types of jobs those really are, you know. And then when you look at, find out that these, you know, that it would take the average person 3 of those jobs just to make ends meet. You know, it you can see that it's just a farther, you know, farther implementation of the plan. They just skew all the numbers to make them look good, but there's really no substance there. There's nothing to, you know, bite your teeth into.
Right.
It's just crazy. You know, they'll call a new production job. They'll say, hey, we're not losing production jobs. We just created 200,000 of them. But now they're calling flipping hamburgers at Burger King production jobs, you know. So I guess if you assemble a hamburger on a production line, that is now the new American production job. So that's where we're headed, man. We're headed down a bad path here. And
well, we are. To me, kind of what led to this, you know, the time right before this crash, you had a lot of buying and a lot of borrowing and not enough production and not enough saving. And I think that's one big reason why we're in this. And I mean, borrowing and buying, credit was very accessible, very low standards, lending policies. I mean, pretty much anybody could get a house. And these people would buy these houses on these arms. And when the arms expired, which they have, you know, it caused the interest rate to go up on their house, and they couldn't make their payments. And it was mass foreclosures across the country. And, you know, I mean, this is what we get. I mean, really, it's what we get.
I was in the financial industry, and I actually I sold mortgages for quite a while, and you know, they had this product that was available called an option arm. Now, the option arm, this is very interesting. The option arm gives you, what it does is it gives you an adjustable rate mortgage, but it gives you the choice of 4 different payment options every month. Now, when you got your statement every month, you would have the option to pay a full 30-year amortized loan, which would pay principal and interest. You could also pay a 15-year principal and interest, or you could pay interest only, or you could pay what they call the minimum payment, which was below interest only, which actually was a negative payment. In other words, if you only paid that payment every month, at the end of 5 years, you would owe more money than you started out with. So the way that they set it up was like you said, they made it very simple for people to qualify for these loans, and they gave them the easiest credit in the world. They didn't even make you pay for principal and interest on the darn thing. You could pay, you could just pay a, you know, a minimal payment. But here's what happened. At the end of 5 years, the loan would reset itself and kick in to where you had to start paying principal. And, you know, I think these products were really designed and set up to sucker people in and cause them to, you know, go into a bad financial mess because, you know, we know that most people financially have a hard time controlling themselves. And when you give them things like this, I mean, yeah, it is their fault for you know, getting into it in the first place, but what I found in the industry was a lot of these guys did not do a good job at explaining to the customers really what was going to happen. And a lot of the customers, even if you did explain it to them, you know, they'd get into a situation where they just felt like they had more money accessible to them than they really had because they didn't have to pay as much out. And that always seems to get people in trouble. So I think that the lending institutions went into this whole deal knowing that people would get in trouble. And I think that's what they wanted to happen because if you look at what's going on now, they own everything. They own everything. The people don't have anything. I mean, they've been able to basically sell and resell things over and over again to people. And they're using our money to do it, you know? So it's a lose-lose situation for the consumer out there, you know. These things were set up, and if you look at it now, you can't even qualify for a mortgage, you know?
No, it's a whole lot tougher now.
And the gentleman that I work with right now, he's got over an 800 credit score, 50% equity in his home. And it took him 80 days to close on a loan to refinance his house just recently because he had an adjustable rate mortgage. And although everything with him was on the straight and narrow, he's never missed a payment. Everything with him was good. But the problem is the banks are not funding people now. They've tightened their grip and they've made it almost impossible for people to borrow money. They'll loan you money if you got $1 million in the bank, and you don't owe anybody anything, they'll be happy to loan you money. But, so you can see it was all done by design, you know, just the way they flipped on everybody after they got everybody drawn in to the spider web, so to speak, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's definitely, surely it was designed to maybe perhaps cause a crash. I do agree. I mean, it's very hard to get a loan now. I mean, the banks absolutely don't want you to be a liability at all anymore. I mean, even like you said, you're putting an 800 credit score or whatever, it's still not good enough.
Right.
I mean, it's really, and there's no longer 90-10 loans or 100% lending. You got to have, right now,
yeah,
it's about an 80-20. I mean, a lot of banks have backed off from the 90-10. 100%.
Yeah.
And even so, I heard the PMI is outrageous. So, you know, you definitely wouldn't want to do that. You're going to want to have 80. You're going to want to do an 80-20 loan just due to the fact of trying to pay the PMI now.
Right, right. That's true. Yeah, I do agree that if you're going to go into a loan, it's always best to step in there with some type of down payment if you can. You know, if you go into something like one of these option arms and you put a down payment down, you always risk that chance of losing what you put down when you lose the home because it's so attractive for people. You know, I mean, think about it. You get your monthly mortgage statement, and all of a sudden this month, let's say you come up a little bit short, you know, and groceries cost you a little bit more than you thought they would, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, I want to go out and, you know, I've been really eyeing that new motorcycle I've been wanting to get. So I think I'm going to go out and buy that. And, you know, I can just pay less on my mortgage payment this month, but, you know, next month I'll catch back up and no problem. And this is what happens. And then people continue to let it go. And then they think, well, you know, I got 4 or 5 years, and then I'll worry about it then. And it just all catches up with you. And that's what seems to happen in the financial world with most people, you know. And that's basically how the whole credit card scam works as well. You know, the credit card companies, once you sign that piece of paper, they got you. And what's funny about it is, again, they're not lending any of their own money to people. And people are using the credit cards. And they're out there buying things on these credit cards, and they're paying outrageous interest rates and getting themselves heavily into debt. And these banks that are so-called paying the bills are not paying the bills with any of the money that none of that money was created by them. It's just a blip on the screen.
It's a vicious cycle. I mean, it's just...
Hey, Justin, what do you think about Barney Frank stepping in as the congressional car czar?
What's that
now? Barney Frank, the car czar. One of the elite congressional leaders, he was one of the guys who created, you know, a big part of this financial mess to begin with.
Uh-huh.
Well, they want to put him in charge of overseeing the auto companies, you know, just to so that they can have some regulation over what's going on. See, that's the thing. That's why I don't trust any of these guys, because they always seem to put somebody in charge who either was a big part of the problem to begin with, or who was an insider that was a big part of the problem. Like, take for instance, you know, the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. What was the first thing that happened in Afghanistan once we went over there and took the country over? Who'd they put into power? The president that they put into power was the former CEO of one of the big oil companies. He was the former CEO of Unocal. You know?
Yeah, that was
I can't remember his name, but they're just so instrumental in doing that all the time. They put people in charge of things that they know are going to do their bidding, and also who, you know, were a big part of the problem to begin with. You know, in Afghanistan, that, you know, one of the big issues was that that oil pipeline that they wanted to run from the Caspian Sea to get the oil out of the sea, and they had a big problem with the Taliban there shutting them down on that. And you know, I feel that was a big part of why we went in there, because if you look at what's happening now, that oil pipeline has been run. You know, so
oh yeah,
it's just interesting to see how it plays out. And then they put an oil chief in charge of running the country. It just doesn't make a lot of sense when you look at it from a...
They love corruption in powerful positions is what they love.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just crazy. So I think the automotive companies, here's what I think. I think they're going down. The American automotive companies are really going to be hurt dramatically, especially if they let the federal government step in and get their hands on everything. I mean, it almost killed Chrysler back in the 80s, you know, and when the whole deal with Iacocca, and they were just dictating what kind of cars the companies had to make. You remember the K car that Chrysler had back then? I don't know how old you are,
I remember that.
The old ugly cake that nobody wanted to buy.
Oh yeah,
that car was designed and implemented by none other than our U.S. government. So that just kind of shows you what they're doing. You know, they're not masters at designing what people want. And they do that.
You don't want your government involved in your business, anyways. I mean, there needs to be a separation there. I mean, we know. Obviously, the definition, when your government gets involved on your business and what you're going to produce, that's straight socialism. I mean, that's what communist countries do. We don't want that. I mean, it needs to be free market, free enterprise, but when the government's bailing you out, when the government's giving your business money, then they get a stake in that business. And just like these banks, I mean, the federal government's going to buy up these bad loans, you know, so they're going to have a stake in the banks. And you don't want that. You don't want that.
Well, I think they're, you know, if you look at how they're consolidating all this stuff, they're taking ownership of everything in our name, you know. the government now owns the largest mortgage company in the world. They own the largest banks in the world. And now it looks like they're going to be owning the automotive companies here shortly. All in our name, of course. You know, that's what they tell us. But then you and I don't have any say-so in what happens with the money that they steal from us.
No,
so
we don't.
Again, it is, like you say, socialism, fascism, whatever you want to call it. It's you know, people need to wake up out there and see it. It's so reminiscent of Mussolini, of Hitler. You know, same thing happened in Nazi Germany when Hitler came to power. You know, the complete takeover of everything in the country. It was all run by...
Yeah, he definitely took over business and...
Yeah, and what's so funny about it, too, was that was all funded by Wall Street. The whole, it was the Rothschild family that funded Hitler to begin with, you know, so it's just amazing. I wish people out there would just wake up and smell the coffee, man, or, you know, whatever you want to smell, but we're getting into some deep water here, and every day, Justin, it just gets deeper. I just don't want to wake up some mornings because of what I see going on, you know. But I've got a family, and like I was saying, I'm in this for my kids, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrible. I'm just like you. I mean, I mean, we don't see reality. The majority of us don't. I see reality. The majority of us don't see reality. That's why I think this radio show is a very instrumental tool in getting the word out on what's really happening behind the scenes. What's really going on with our economy, our government, the world, and it's not pretty. I mean, it's not a bed of roses. And
yeah.
You know, there's so many different things that we could talk about that we could break down. I mean, it needs to be done.
Yeah.
It needs to be done.
Yeah, it does. And you know, it's just amazing how many people are still asleep at the wheel. Some of them are starting to wake up because they're starting to be so affected. But, you know, I just remember talking to people 10 years ago and telling them what was coming. And I'll bet you if I went back to those people today, they wouldn't remember a thing I said to them, you know?
Yeah, no.
So,
no, probably not. Most people don't want to remember it, though. A lot of times when you talk about this type of stuff, people don't want to face it. They want to pretend like it's not real. People don't want to, I mean, it's human nature. Not to want to not to want to face controversy, but
sure.
I think people's idleness, people's lack of trying to understand what's happening, is why we're in the mess that we're in.
Yeah, we've definitely lost the glee of our forefathers. They wouldn't have stood for this for a second. You know, they'd have thrown these bums out long ago, and that's what they did, and that's why we have what we have, but we're quickly losing it all. So if we don't stand up and do something soon, it's all going to be gone. And I believe there will be another revolution soon, but it's not going to be the kind of revolution that could have happened easily, you know. But I still think we'll kick their butts in the long
run. Yeah.
But it's going to be,
I think if people will stand up and speak out. But the Bush administration and the problems that we're in, a lot of people are opening their eyes right now. They're starting to realize that, wait a minute, things aren't right. Things aren't how they should be. Something's wrong here. And I think it's just a matter of time before people really start understanding and opening their eyes and looking at what's happening.
Well, they're going to be forced to if they wait too much longer anyway. So they're... You know, I believe there's some things coming down the road that are just gonna wake up all those that are sleeping by sheer force alone. So, but hey, listen, Justin, we're about out of time here. Appreciate you calling in. I'd like to speak with you more. I'd like to get you on the show.
Matter of fact, Brad, your other guest speaker, he's actually gonna be in. He's taking a vacation or what have you. He'll be in next week, next Friday, so perhaps we can come in and be guest speakers on your show.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. I'd love to have you. Yeah, give me a call this week if you
can.
Okay,
man. All right. I appreciate it, Martin.
Okay. Right, thanks for coming on. All right.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, well, to all our listeners out there, have a great week. Merry Christmas to you all. I hope you have a good Christmas this week coming up, and a good holiday for those of you who don't follow Christmas. You know, keep your nose to the grindstone, but please wake up out there. We're facing some difficult, tough economic times coming down the road, people. And I hope you tune into it and can be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Until next Friday evening, I bid you well. And this is your host, Martin Siegel. I'll see you next week.